This is our fourth word, which will come to us by Dr. Lou Priory of the Princeton University Theological School in Princeton, New Jersey. And that fourth word comes from the gospel according to Mark 15, verses 33 through 34. Dr. Priory, he is a Perry and Georgia Eagle Assistant Professor of Homiletics. His teaching and research interests are located at the intersection of preaching, worshiping, performance studies, culture, and particularly expressions of African diaspora. He has numerous publications. His most recently one is Spirit Speech, Lament and Celebrate in Preaching. As he come to us now with that fourth word, at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Let's give God some praise. We have come to worship the living God. We might be professors, but I hope I can speak for everyone. We are first praisers at the foot of the cross today. So somebody ought to say hallelujah. If you're a part of that new humanity, hallelujah. Oh, it is indeed a privilege for me to be among such company. It's a humbling experience for me to be here in this great cloud of witnesses. Thank you, Pastor, for the invitation. In that first word, Jesus was talking to them. In the second word from this morning, Jesus is talking to the criminal on the cross. In the third word we just heard, Jesus is talking to his disciple, but also his mother. But in this fourth word, we have Jesus, the Son of God, talking to God. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So I'm not accused of proof texting, taking a text out of its context. Let me just say that after Jesus gives this loud cry, there are people that do not understand what he's saying. They think he's calling Elijah. But then we hear after that that he gives another loud cry and breathes his last. And it is at that moment that we hear that the curtain of the temple is torn into two from top to bottom. And then following that, we see that the centurion, the Roman soldier, as a result of seeing what has just happened, says, truly, this man was God's son. So when Jesus cries out today, something happens. It's a cry from the Christ from a cross. Not a three-point sermon that ends with a poem, but a cry. Not a sermon that climaxes and closes with celebration and a musical hoop, you know what I'm talking about, but a word that closes with a cry of lament in the face of death. And if you can't cry on Good Friday, when can you cry? A cry. Jesus doesn't quote Karl Barth's Church Dogmatics or John Calvin's Institutes or Dietrich Bonhoeffer's Life Together at his point of desperation. Jesus quotes Scripture. Jesus, the Word of God, quotes the Word of God. This cry of lament from Psalm 22 in the mouth of Jesus can't be avoided even if we wanted to. It is a cry that still echoes down the acoustical corridors of church history, so much that we hear it talking to us today. And here I am preaching about, my God, why have you forsaken me? A cry of lament, a cry of forsakenness, a cry of abandonment. In other words, a hip-hop text message, OMG, WTF. Now, I know that probably makes some of you uncomfortable, but the cry from the cross should not make us comfortable. I know it's not popular, but I know it's the truth. I know it's not pretty, but it is surely honest. I know we don't want to hear this loud cry of lament today off the lips of Jesus the Christ. I know we have problems in the church with the notion of lament. I know we love to praise and worship, hey, and having a good, healthy hoop. How did it close, Doc? How did it close? I know we embrace the top side of the mountain, but have a hard time dealing with the rough side of the mountain. I know we've been co-opted by the principalities and pristine powers of prosperity, gospel preaching, and naming it and claiming it, a bigger house and a bigger car and a bigger bank account. I know we love a Santa Claus God who we can call up on the main line and tell him what we want when we want it, and God will grant us, like genie, every wish we want just the way we want it. I know we've been under the hallucination of musical theologies like let's get back to Eden, live on top of the world, when we have never been on top of the world. I know sometimes we have become socialized Holy Ghost zombies and get caught up in fancy phrases like when the praises go up and the blessings come down. I don't know about you, but there have been times when I have sent praises up, but something other than blessings come down. So Jesus today shows us another doxological posture before God. Because what do you do when the praises go up and cancer comes down? What do you do when the praises go up and depression takes up residence in your life without paying rent? What do you do when the praises go up and your child ends up in jail? Or what do you do when the praises go up but you hear God crying out to God, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's almost as if God has given up on God's self. What do you do on this Good Friday? When Jesus is on crucified lockdown, about to be executed on a bloody death row. What do you do when you have to bear the cross alone? I'll tell you what you do. You lament, you groan, you moan, you cry, and you lament some more, because we have come over a way that with tears has been watered. We have come treading a path through the blood of the slaughtered. I know we have sanitized and we've bleached the blood away from Jesus, even in some of our hymnals in many Christian denominations. And we've tried to clean up Good Friday and hang a nice little safe, pretty Jesus around our neck. But the cry from the cross continues with or without us. Jesus cries for all of the innocent men and women who are being lynched, crucified on contemporary crosses today. Those being lynched because of their color of skin in the new Jim Crow prison industrial complex. No wonder James Cone writes about it, the cross and the lynching tree. Jesus cries out from a wooden tree for all of us who ask why. My God, why have you forsaken me? And if you think lament is out of style, well, the loud outcry of lament continues today. It continues in the cries and shrieks of Trayvon Martin on that 911 call. Help! Help! My God, why? Help! Help! My God, why? Help! Help! My God, why? A modern day crucifixion of a young black male teenager who was living in Miami Gardens, Florida, where I grew up and where my parents still live. Help! A loud cry, but no one would help. Help! Shot to death because he wore a hoodie. Help! Shot to death because he ate some Skittles. Help! Shot to death because he drank some iced tea. Help! Shot to death because he happened to be walking while black. Help! My God, why? Trayvon Martin was crucified in Golgotha, Florida. Golgotha, the place of the skull, was outside of Jerusalem's city walls, outside of the city of Orlando. Golgotha is not at the top of your list for summer vacation locations. Golgotha is not where a pastor wants to begin a new church building campaign. But today, God, the cry of God rings out loudly from the mournful, hellish hill of Golgotha. My God, why have you forsaken me? Help, God, crying out loud outside the city walls, outside the center of human existence. On the fringes, on the borderlands of humanity, away from the hustle and bustle of the economic, social, and religious center of power. Away from the lifestyle of the rich and famous, away from our seminaries, and away from our denominational headquarters. A cry that is shunned and sent away so there's no media coverage. A cry that the center of power and privilege in our world cannot handle, because this loud cry is a critique of the way life is. This loud cry declares that there's something wrong with the imperial system of the day. This loud cry says that something is wrong with the religious system of the day. The expression of lament, according to Walter Brueggemann, basically says life is not right. So when Jesus cries out, he reveals his dissatisfaction with the current state of affairs. Jesus is put to death because of blasphemy and sedition. He represents another religious and political order as Messiah and King. His cry critiques the norm, what is normal. And so the religious and political powers of the day attempt to kill the cry of Jesus. They not only want to put Jesus to death, but they want to destroy those loud cries that are coming from the oppressed. Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. Jesus' final melody is in the tune of a loud cry of lament. That same lament that one scholar say danced, that lament danced and swayed in the belly of the slave ships of the Middle Passage. What else can you do at the foot of the cross? What else can you do on a cross but lament? And Jesus is silent all the way up to this point of the loud cry. For some reason, he has to pump up the volume to get our attention. But even the loud cries sometimes will be misunderstood. No matter how loud you are or how hard you try, people just won't get what you're talking about. When Jesus cries, the bystanders think he's calling out Elijah. They can't make out his voice in the 911 call to God. So they think things that are not true. They think we're talking about apples when we're really said oranges. They think we're talking about chicken nuggets when we've actually ordered chicken cordon bleu. They think we said down when we really said up. People don't always understand our cries. Our laments, our anguish, our agony. It's as if Jesus is speaking in a foreign tongue. But the loud cry assures us that death will be heard on this Good Friday. Even if you wanted to ignore it, an electric slide into Easter, that loud cry of lament is ringing out today. Help! My God, why? Jesus may not be wearing a hoodie, but he's bearing a cross. He shows us the consequence of a prophetic mission. He shows us that giving oneself to God does not mean success, prosperity, or popularity. In the words of Howard Thurman, he shows us the logic of what happens to love in the world. Because as Jesus goes down to death, and this is the good news, he's not going by himself. That loud cry has the last laugh. Jesus gave a loud cry, breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And then the centurion says, truly, this was God's son. Jesus' loud cry not only critiques the system that tries to silence him, but it destroys the very system that sought to destroy him. That cry that couldn't be voiced, that could only be voiced outside the city center, outside the center of religious and political power, because it was a threat. That cry that was not welcomed in the places of privilege because it would stir people up too much, comes crying back at the center and eventually tears it up from top to bottom. The loud cry causes the temple to crumble from top to bottom, completely, totally, entirely, fully demolished. The cry from the cross rips oppression up. And the religious powers thought that putting Jesus out would get rid of this troublemaker. But little did they know that Jesus would end his life with fighting words. My God, why have you forsaken me? It's a cry of lament that speaks truth to power and acknowledges that life is not right. This cry may be on the margins of society, but it's still strong enough to tear the veil, the curtain of the temple. The temple, if you don't know, was the center of the Jewish religion and economy and social life. So if you mess with the temple, you were messing with the heart of Judaism and religion of that day. And that's just what Jesus does. Even as he's dying, he fights with a word, a sword of the Spirit, wielding his power to destroy the oppressive and depressive religious powers of his day. His loud cry decenters the center of the religious order. His loud cry establishes another order, another way of living. And so, even as he predicted the demise of the temple earlier in Mark, at the cross, he accomplishes the demise as the curtain splits from top to bottom. The way they did church was undone. The sanctioned religious segregation was done. The center of religiosity crashed through the cry of God. So one simple cry tore up a whole system. No guns, no tanks, no shoe bombs, no knives. Just a cry of lament. When Jesus cries and dies, something has to change. When Jesus cries and dies, something new has to rise. And so his death is not really his end, but the end of destructive ways of human life. Jesus does not die alone on that day, because the temple dies on that day from top to bottom. So I've just stopped by to tell you, don't underestimate the loud cry of Jesus, because it is that cry that opens up God's future for us and gives us access to God's presence in the world and in our lives. That loud cry tears the veil of the temple and removes the veil from the centurion's eyes. Oh, it takes a loud cry and someone to die sometimes for people to get their attention. And so Trayvon's cry of death has unleashed calls for justice and an end to racism. That cry has torn apart any illusion of a post-racial society. That cry has stirred the outcry from others. And just as Jesus tears the veil of our religious and political establishment so there can be new possibilities and a new humanity for our world and in our life. So don't underestimate a cry of lament, because as one of my colleague says, the spine of lament is hope. That cry, my God, why have you forsaken me, is not a cry of lament, but a cry of hope. Hope that a change is going to come. Hope that trouble don't last always. Hope that God is not finished with us yet. Hope that God can do something about our struggle and trouble and our crosses. Hope that God is in the midst of despair. Because even when I cry out in anguish, help, I can still cry. Did you catch it? My God, God's there at the cross. My God, I may endure a cross, but I know that I can still say, my God. I may not have all the answers to my questions, but I do know, my God can handle our questions, and my God can handle our despair, and my God can handle our anger, and my God can handle my anxieties. My God can handle our loud cries. My God, why have you forsaken me? And so without that cry, It would be the same old, without that cry, oppression would prevail. Without that cry, we might think that the kingdoms of this world are actually the kingdom of God. But with that cry, a new day has begun from top to bottom, from top to bottom. So cry out with a loud voice, lift every voice. Let it resound loud as the rolling sea. Cry out loud until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Cry out loud until the wolf lies down with the lamb. Cry out loud until death and mourning are no more. Cry out loud until systems and structures are put in place to protect the innocent and convict the guilty. Cry out loud until the new Jim Crow lynching system, the prison industrial complex is destroyed. Cry out loud for the Trayvon Martins of the world. Cry out loud for the Iraqi immigrant Shaima Alawada, who was killed in California, left to die next to a note that told her to go back to her home country. Cry out loud against hatred of any kind. Cry out loud for the poor, and cry out loud against the system that keeps them poor. Cry out loud for the orphan, and cry out loud for the widow. Cry out loud for Jesus, and cry out loud to Jesus. You know why? Because if someone didn't cry out, slavery would still be in existence. If someone didn't cry out, the Jim Crow laws would still be in place. If someone didn't cry out, blacks would have never received voting rights. If someone didn't cry out, there would have never been a black president in this country. If Jesus never cried out, the temple curtain would not have been torn. If Jesus never cried out, the centurion would still be spiritually blind. If Jesus never cried out, we wouldn't have unmediated access to God. But because Jesus cried out, we can know that even lament is worship. Because Jesus cried out on the cross, we can learn that God will never leave us nor forsake us. If I ascend into heaven, God, my God, is there. And if I make my bed in Sheol, God, my God, is there. Because when you cry out loud, God will take the thing that has been hurting you. God will take the thing that has been hindering you. God will take the thing that has been harming you and do like he just did to the veil of the temple. He'll tear it up from top to bottom. Hallelujah. 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 Tell God, tear it up. Tear it up.